This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, December 29th, 2024. Christmas Unboxed. No returns.
Well, good morning, Connection Church.
Good morning.
Isn't this just a glorious day to be part of God's creation here in the sanctuary there at home? Here we go.
My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who've been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for being here. Our mission, let's say it together, to connect people with Jesus and the new life he offers. We're talking about new life today. We want to welcome those of you online. We're so glad that you could join us. One church, many locations. Let's pray. Lord, as we sang a few moments ago, no one but you. No one but you. We try really hard to make things about other things, and we just fall short after we spin our wheels long enough, and we come back to no one but you. So thank you for this opportunity to worship you, to glorify you together as a community of faith, whether we're right here on campus or we're joining online. Settle us in, remove distractions. We pray this in your holy and blessed name. Everybody agreed and said, amen. Amen.
So the day after Christmas, I was catching up on some emails that I hadn't paid attention to for about a day and a half because Christmas Eve and Christmas. And I noticed this order, a confirmation for an order that I'd made on the 24th. Confirming some folding chairs I'd ordered. You see, we have this table at home that'll stretch out 16 and a half feet. It's got 12 leaves in, I may have told you before. And if we squeeze a little bit, we can get like 22 people around it. The only problem is we don't have 22 chairs. And there are times when we need all 22. So even though I wouldn't be getting it till, 3rd or 4th of January, but I went ahead and made the order. And so I see this confirmation, but the problem was I thought I had ordered 4 chairs. This confirmation said, no, you ordered 2 chairs. I thought I ordered 4 black vinyl chairs. It says, no, you ordered 2 white fabric chairs. I thought I'd ordered 4 chairs for $49.99. The confirmation said, no, you ordered 2 chairs for $49.99. So I tried to get it straightened out right then and there, but it says, no, you have to wait till it's actually delivered. I was trying to catch it so it didn't cost extra money, maybe catch it before they actually... No, you just wait and we'll take care of it. But that's okay because, we pay that little bit to be on Amazon Prime or whatever, and we get free returns. Free returns. So, we'll get things straightened out after delivery because we get free. You got to love free returns, right? Hello.
Well, free returns are great when we're talking about orders from Amazon or other retailers. And in fact, we have come to count on that. We're a little less cautious when placing an order, right or wrong. I know that it's not right, but you just order, and if we don't like it, we might change our mind. We don't need it anymore. We send it back.
Get a better price.
Not really proud of that, but this is how it goes. Free returns are great. Don't you wish life was sometimes like free returns? Oh, you got us now, don't you? Like, can we have a do-over? Can we just make an exchange? Free returns, like, can we go back and do it again? Return to the way things used to be? Return to yesterday? That's not how life is. That's not how real life is in what we're talking about. There aren't really returns.
No returns. We see that as part of the Bible story. You remember those men we refer to as the wise men, the magi, from the east? They came and asked, Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? If you remember, they had seen a star and came to worship him. Can you imagine these learned men coming miles and miles to worship a child? That's incredible. They'd seen the star and came to worship him. King Herod heard about this, and it troubled him. It troubled him because he became jealous and concerned because he thought he was the king of the Jews. That was his title. That's what everybody called. He was king of the Jews. What's this little upstart here? So he assembled his chief priests and his scribes, and he inquired, where this Christ child was to be born? They went back to the prophet Micah and found that the prophet Micah had said he would be born in Bethlehem. Check this out, Matthew 2:7-9. Then Herod summoned the wise men and secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. He wants to get a starting point on this thing. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I may come and worship him. Hello. Warning, danger. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, notice we're talking about a child in a house here, not a baby in a manger. We'll cover that later. After going to the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Wow. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. These aren't just gifts. These are treasures. These are expensive, valuable gifts here. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. No returns.
Well, ironically, when these wise men visited Jesus, they could not return the way that they came. They had to do it a different way, and that's the same for you and me too. Once we've visited Jesus, once we've come to know him as our Lord and Savior, once we have a personal relationship with Jesus, we're different. We're changed. There's no returning to the way we were when we didn't know. Now, we might pretend we don't know, go to a far country. Jesus accepts our return always. But when we know him, the Holy Spirit resides in us and guides us. Even when we go this way, it's like, nope, go this way. And like, okay, we get back on the trail. So we can look forward to this bright and glorious future always. There's no returns in our lives. Even for Jesus, after his birth, check this out. Now, when they, the wise men, had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Gosh, it started so early, didn't it? Wow. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son.
So when the wise men didn't return to Herod after visiting the child, he became furious and had all the male children in the region of Bethlehem who were 2 years and under killed. From that and from the house rather than a manger and from child rather than a baby, we come to think maybe it was up to 2 years between that birth and the visitation from the wise men, up to 2 years. In time, when Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream in Egypt, telling him to take the child and Mary go to Israel. Those who had sought the child's life were dead. So he took Jesus and Mary, returned to Israel. But when he heard that Herod's son was ruling, probably like father, like son, hello, was ruling over Judea in place of his father, Joseph was afraid to go there. He was warned in a dream to withdraw to the district of Galilee. And so that is where he went with his wife and child to a city of Nazareth. Fulfilling here, once again, we have these centuries-old prophecies, and here it is fulfilled, that Jesus would be called a Nazarene. So once again, no return. Instead of Bethlehem, they came to live in Nazareth.
Now for Jesus' parents, there definitely was no return to the way things were before Jesus. We read in Luke 2 how Joseph and Mary, they went to Jerusalem every year for the Passover feast. That's what they did. It was a really big deal. Everybody returned to their hometown. And there's a story in Scripture when Jesus was 12 years old. Kind of hard to imagine Jesus as a 12-year-old, but he was just like our kids, you know, 12 years old. They went according to the custom, and when the feast ended, they were returning home, and they were with this very large group. There were a lot of people there, and they're walking along, and they realize that Jesus wasn't with them.
Hello.
Now, let's not diss these two parents. Have you ever, like, lost a child? Well, we have a couple times. One time, it was Megan's graduation from high school, and
that's our second oldest.
And so everybody's like down on the field and congratulating, and we're all out there. And next thing I know, it's like, well, where's Turner? That's our son, and he was like 6 years old, 7 years old at the time. You know, where's Turner? I don't know. Where's Turner? I don't know. There was this purple ice cream truck that was suspect, and I'm like, oh my gosh, and we get the police involved. And then finally, after quite a while, the cop locates, he's on the field congratulating all of the graduates. He knew everybody. He was like the little mayor of Seaford.
They were his buddies.
He's high-fiving. I'm like, oh my gosh, Turner, we didn't know where you were. And he goes, well, I knew where I was. Well, Jesus knew where he was. He was in the temple.
Where he was supposed to be.
He was where he was supposed to be. Turner was not, but he was where he was supposed to be. He was sitting among the teachers. He was learning. He was asking questions. And people were amazed at this 12-year-old and the knowledge that he had. And then Jesus, 12-year-old Jesus, this is tough as a parent, but he says to his parents, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? And they did not understand what he was saying. He did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them, and he came to Nazareth, and he was submissive to them. And his mother treasured all these things up in her heart. Remember, that sounds like when the angel visited her. You know, she stored that was a treasure. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. You might recognize that. We had a children's ministry curriculum for many years called Luke, or it was called 252, and it was this Luke 252, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. No returns. Life with Mary and Joseph in their household, it would never be the same again when Jesus came on the scene.
No returns. Later in life, when Jesus was grown outside the house there, life would never return to what it was for those who encountered Jesus, those who spoke to him, those he touched. We're reminded here of the story of a guy named Legion. Anybody know the story of Legion? Legion stands for a large group of military personnel. I think it's thousands of, of soldiers, a legion of soldiers. And this guy was called Legion because he had a legion of demons inside of him. The demon-possessed man Jesus encountered him when he crossed the Lake of Galilee to the region of the Gerasenes. This guy, Legion, he lived naked among the tombs, the dead places, the places where nobody wanted to be, the places that was not where you wanted to go. He was chained hand and foot. He had been, but he was able to break those chains and had been driven by the demon to these solitary places. Can you imagine this poor man? Jesus sent the demons into a herd of pigs who rushed down a steep slope into the lake there and drowned. This is what we're told in Luke 8:35 through 39. Then the people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Can you imagine? This man who had been a demon-possessed lunatic, tearing chains off him among the graveyard. And here he is at the feet of our Lord and Savior. I love this, in his right mind. When we sit at the feet of Jesus, we're in our right mind, aren't we? Yeah. But they were afraid. I guess so. God has that kind of power over somebody, can change from that to that. Those who had seen him, go back, I'm not quite done, thanks, sorry. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with fear. They're afraid of a couple of things. This power that Jesus had, plus they're afraid for their economy. Because these pigs, that was their livelihood. They'd just been drowned in the lake. Jesus, get out of here. You're messing things up, man, on all fronts. See, they were more concerned with what was in their pocket than what was in this man when he was demon-possessed. They were more concerned with their livelihood than his livelihood. So, Jesus didn't want to be where he wasn't wanted. He got in the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. Yeah, you ever heard that expression, bloom where you're planted? That's basically what Jesus said. Bloom where you're planted. You don't need to go with me. You have a mission field right here. You won't believe how many people are going to listen to you after they've seen what's happened to you. Man, you have got a story. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Wow. The man may have returned home, but he could never return to the person he'd been. Not after meeting Jesus. This man, once riddled with demons, naked, living among the tombs, was now clothed and in his right mind, sharing with the whole city what Jesus had done for him. No returns.
There's another story in the Bible. It's about a blind man. He was blind from birth. And at that time, they thought that there was sin that would have caused the infirmity. And so the Pharisees were questioning, who sinned? The man or the parents? What was this all about? And it became this kind of big thing going on. And so Jesus did this miraculous thing. He took some dirt, some mud, spit in it, anointed the man's eyes, and the blind man then could see. Well, then Jesus was under a microscope because he was working. What? A healing is working? But no, they weren't allowed to do anything because it was the Sabbath. And so, once again, Jesus was in big trouble with the temple people. And then, you know, they brought the blind man before the people, and, you know, they were examining him, like, how did all this happen, and who sinned, and blah, 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 blah. And so here's the scripture, John chapter 9. For a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man," Jesus, "is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." Simple as that. I was blind, now I see. It's Jesus. That's it. And so this story was just amazing. And he came to believe in the Lord as his Savior.
Mm. I was blind, now I see. You don't need to know all the doctrines. You don't need to know all the stuff of the church. I mean, it's valuable, but the bottom line is this. I was blind. I met Jesus. Now I see. There's a before and an after, isn't it? In fact, if you know Jesus, I'm sure you have a before and after story. A before and after story. Well, some people can say exactly the day, the hour, the minute, the place, can describe that, where they were when Christ came into their life. I can't do that. From the time I was a kid, I remember Jesus being part of my life. That doesn't mean we've always been the tightest possible relationship, but I can't tell that day and time. But I do know this, as time has gone by, I've gotten a little closer, gotten closer, closer. And as I've come closer, I can see the befores and the afters. I used to be cocky and arrogant. Some people would say, "So what's changed?" Well, I think I'm a little more humble than I used to be. I hope so.
You are.
I used to be selfish and focused on money. And now I'm much more generous and giving. I used to pray for me. Maybe you know your wish list, you know, God, boom, 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 number 10. You know, it's all about me, right? Now I think I pray for others as well. We could go on probably for an hour, but I'll leave it at that. But, you know, the old is gone, the new has come. No returns. I'm not going back.
There's another scripture. It's found in the Gospel of John. It's about a woman, the woman at the well. She had a not so great past. And she was on the outside. She didn't appear to have a good community of faith. And so she went out to draw water at noon. Tough time, very hot, alone. And Jesus is there. And Jesus says, he starts talking to her. And he asks for a drink. And she says, like, "Well, why would you ask me for a drink? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan." Like, they didn't get along. "You're a man, I'm a woman." They didn't talk to strangers. And so Jesus was crossing these social barriers right away. Jesus does that. And so, they end up talking a little more. And he says, "Well, if you knew who you were going to get a drink from, you'd say, just give me more, give me more, give me more." And they ended up talking about the fact that she would never thirst again when she took the drink from Jesus, figuratively. It's true. When he comes into our lives, we will never thirst again. John 4:16 through 19.
This is what we read. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." And the woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands. And the one you now have is not your husband. What you say is true. Interesting thing is, if she'd been divorced five times, in that culture, it's more likely it's the husband's doing the divorcing than it was she. Anyway, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet."
Well, they talked some more. The woman said, you know, she was waiting for the Messiah. And he ended up saying, "I'm the Messiah." And she accepted Jesus into her life. And what did she do? She went and shared with the townspeople all that she had learned, all of who she met. Wow, radical change. No turning back.
This woman who came to the well at noon, when nobody else was there, was apparently ostracized by those she lived among. She'd been a kind of an outcast. And here she is. She runs to tell them. And what's more incredible that she told them, they listened to her. They listened to her. She got them to come out and see what she was talking about. Isn't that wild? That's the power Christ has. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did," she said. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It's no longer because of what you said that we believe." It was. It started with that. But now we've heard for ourselves, and we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. This woman's life was changed after meeting Jesus. Her relationship with those around her changed. Her life would never be the same. No returns.
So this past December, we've done Christmas Unboxed. And we unboxed hope and the gift of hope and the gift of peace, the gift of joy, of love. On Christmas Eve, we did wonder. And if these were just things, we would box them all up like our Christmas ornaments and everything, you know, tape it up and put it all in the basement. But that's not what this is about. If I had this box from Amazon, or if I had a delivery from Amazon and it wasn't quite the right fit, I'd just take it back to Kohl's. But we saw over and over and over in the Bible, and we could have named a whole lot more, where when Jesus comes into the picture, we are never, ever the same again. We're never the same again. There's no returning back to the way we were. Now, that being said, we sometimes try to make a return. We're living life. Life gets hard. Life might get complicated, get confusing, and we're like, you know what? This whole Jesus thing is not what it's all cracked up to be. I think I'm going to put it all back in the box. Here's the thing about that. Jesus is waiting. You can return to him. Remember the parable of the son who went in the pigsty and you know, squandered everything. But the parable says God is there waiting. Arms outstretched. Father is waiting. And so while we're not the same, we can always return to him.
When Jesus brings us hope, when he brings us peace, when he brings us joy, brings us love, brings us that wonder we talked about on Christmas Eve, it's very difficult to go back to the things as they were, isn't it? It's tough to return. It's like B.C. and A.D., before Christ, and A.D., Annos Domini, in the year of our Lord. You know? We're all living, if you're living in the year of the Lord, let's act like it. Let's act like it. Let's just not live it, but let's share it. You know, as we said on Christmas Eve, you got some good news. Let's go tell it on the mountain, or in Delaware, right here on the flatland. It's okay. Share the hope that we have. Share the hope that is the choice to hold on to what God says is true. Let's share the peace that passes all understanding. In the midst of chaos, you can be at peace. Isn't that incredible? Let's share the joy, not that temporal happiness that depends on your mood here today, gone tomorrow, but the joy that comes from knowing God's grace in our lives. Let's share the love, the agape love, that unconditional love for everyone we come in contact with, regardless of who they are, where they came from. And let's share that wonder of that star in the sky, that baby in the manger, those shepherds in the field, that glorious celestial choir there in the night sky when Christ was born. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Once we know Jesus, there's no returns. All thing we can do is look forward to a wonderful, wonder-filled, and glorious future. And like the shepherds, share it with everyone we meet. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Most holy God, we say thank you. It's about all we can say. Thank you. And there's no turning back. There's no returns. Once Christ is in our lives, everything's changed. Everything's changed. It's a transformation, Lord. The old is gone, the new has come. And we just celebrate and thank you. Thank you, Christ, for coming into our lives. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we praise you and glorify your holy name. All those gathered here this morning said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.